Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
One day only, Thanksgiving Day deals are coming to Lowe's.com. Plus, members get early access to online Black Friday doorbuster deals on gifting favorites, like the still trending Cobalt Mini Toolbox for just $14.98. Don't miss up to 50% off for one day only at Lowe's.com. We help you save. Valid 11/27 only on Lowe's.com. Member only doorbusters and Midnight Eastern. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. See Lowe's.com/terms for details. Subject to change. While supplies last.
Welcome to the Bullseye Saints Hour, Mike Haas. Bullseye, the official tailgate of the Saints, and we are talking with Vice President of Pro Personnel, Michael Parenton, VP of Pro Personnel since 2021, his 14th year with the team. He's been a frequent visitor on our show. We love him, E.D. White, Tulane, and typically Tuesdays, sometimes pretty quiet, sometimes maybe a move here or there to the practice squad. Today, not so much. We have a bunch of roster moves that happened. So let's just talk about the news of the day and the moves that were made.
Yeah, you know, obviously a really tough decision to move on from Blake as our kicker. You know, I think all of us have seen the growth of that player and has been a really cool development in terms of, you know, signing him out of Notre Dame as an undrafted free agent, competing with Will that year, having an awesome training camp and really having, you know, a good couple of years in our league. And this year, I think we all saw in training camp Blake's talent, his consistency. You know, and unfortunately, things just didn't work out throughout the season. And it was time to make a change. You know, so we got a couple of young guys still in our building with Charlie and with Cade now. And we'll see what we get here. But both these guys have a ton of leg talent. See if, you know, whoever's got the hot hand and we'll roll with it.
So Cade has been with a few teams, that former LSU kicker. How did the workouts go yesterday with him? Or are you more looking at now or kind of what he's done in the past?
Yeah, so a little bit of both. It's a little bit interesting with that player's particular path for us because we had him here for local day, kicked him, followed him when he went to Cleveland, Washington 2 years ago, and then last year, the last part of the year in Cincinnati, he kicked for those guys and kicked well. And then obviously, you know, with scouting, you have a lot of contacts, you have a lot of, you know, avenues that you use to do your evals on every position, really. And John Carney is a close friend of the team, obviously, just as a bunch of these other guys on are, Jamie Cole. You know, we have all of our kicking gurus and specialists that you keep track of from the college process as well as the pro process. And Carney held a kicking camp 2 weeks ago in Dallas. We sent Justin Matthews, our assistant pro director, and Justin's always been a great resource for special teams. He's always been our guy that, you know, back in his days from video, he would help those guys out with their breakdowns. You know, so he talks the lingo very well. He understands the technicalities of it. He's always had a great relationship with the special teams coaches. So he was the perfect guy to send out there. And Cade, you know, had the best workout of the group there. So when the time came to reevaluate the kicker position, it was a recent exposure that we had on a player that we said, hey, this would be another good name for us to throw into this kicker workout. And then also it was a great opportunity for us to put Charlie in a kicker workout as well, just to see, hey, how does these guys go with competition? You know, let's create some competition. Let's create a little bit of stress environment for all these guys and see who comes out the best. And you know, both those guys, particularly Charlie and Cade, have a ton of leg talent. The ball jumps off their foot when you see them do that. And kudos to Justin for identifying that and speaking up to have this guy come in here.
Kellen Moore had to, you know, answer it yesterday when you did bring in Justin Tucker. You knew that that would be, you know, a lightning rod. Did his pass play in any role of the decision that you went?
No.
Yeah.
No.
Cade is the best guy.
Yep. So. Cade won the workout. He had the best workout by far.
Other moves. Actually, one more question on not so much Blake, but you talk about John Carney and word of mouth and kind of how things happen. It's exactly how the Saints got Will Lutz. If you think back way back in the day, 2016, John Harbaugh was going to cut him and did have to go. He did cut him, and he called Sean. He said, "Hey, man, I got this guy." I mean, it's a lot of that.
Who do you trust? And I was at Will's workout that day, and I can remember us all going through the workout. And the intention was to sign Will to practice squad. And, hey, it's a young kicker. Harbaugh said he's got some leg talent. It's a good program that's had great specialists in their organization for, you know, as long as I can remember. And so we trust this guy's word. And then we got through Will's workout, and we're like, nah, we just need to sign this guy to the active roster. This is a regular season active kicker here. Like, we don't want to miss the opportunity to lose this guy. You know, so it's a unique deal. But, hey, that's – you know, it's pretty cool when you go through your history. Nobody wants to be in the carousel of kickers. You just want to kind of have stability there, know what you're getting. You line up the ones that are makeable, you make. The ones that are tough, you're going to get on the plus side of that, you know, in your percentages. And, you know, having those experiences to draw from, you know, I think is unique in our career.
Yeah, I always felt, I don't know if I had a chance to talk to Kellen about it, was that because I almost think Blake's training camp hurt him, right? You know, he missed one in the rain here in Metairie, so he's in this zone. And then when he missed a couple, I think, you know, kickers are kickers, you know. But it's just, and so there was no decision to be made early because it's a slippery slope. You kind of talked about it. Go back to 21. Saints used four kickers, right? Atlanta gets rid of Young Weku. Week one, they're on their third kicker. Now, sometimes it works out. San Francisco cuts Jake Moody. They get Eddie Pinheiro off the couch. And I don't know if you hadn't seen the stats from last night. He hadn't missed yet. But it's a slippery slope, right? Yep. I mean, you don't know. Once you get on that carousel, it could be perfect or you could be in trouble.
Yeah, and you just got to do your background, do your research. And like I said, you know, we are always evaluating at every position. You know, you try your best to have your ear to the ground and understand who's available. You know, if, you know, Taliese, you know, gets hurt, so we have Awesome Richards. And before going into camp, Awesome Richards wasn't on the radar because we had Landon Young and we had a bunch of other guys. But you have injuries, and so just as any other position, kicker's no different. And so you just try to do as much research as you can and much background and be like, all right, who are the right guys for us? And if there's a convincing argument from either performance standpoint, situational fit, any of that stuff that you're like, all right, well, let's go with this guy or this group of guys kind of fit what we're looking for, then, yeah, let's make a move and let's do it. But we're not going to just change for change's sake.
So that's Michael Parenton. By the way, they do have the numbers on Eddie Pinheiro. He's still perfect because he didn't kick last night. He's a bit injured, but he's 22 of 22, leads the NFL with 100%. Matt Gay kicked a couple of last night for San Francisco in that win over Carolina. As for Cade York, he's from Prosper, Texas, just north of Frisco, and of course went to LSU. Was a fourth-round pick with Cleveland in 22, kicked with Washington in 24, and in Cincinnati in 24 as well. But as you kind of heard, he's not on the active roster. He's on the practice squad along with Charlie Smith, so that decision will be made later this week. But Blake Rupe, the undrafted free agent, released today, and that was just one move. We will talk more about the roster moves made on this Tuesday with Michael Parenton, Vice President of Player Personnel. This is the Bullseye Saints Hour on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Black Friday? More like Black Friday. Shop the DSW Black Friday sale and take 30% off almost all the shoes, accessories, and giftable goodies we've got at DSW.com. Plus 30% off just about every regular price item at your DSW store. Score shoes that get you and everyone on your list at prices that get your budget. So carpe the deal. Head to Designer Shoe Warehouse and get that gift list done. DSW, let us surprise you.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
At Marisa's, we're all about great jeans. You know, the ones that fit you just right. The ones that simply make you feel good. Because you don't just wear jeans, you live in them. Find great jeans starting at $29.90 in stores and at Marisa's.com.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Welcome back. It is the Bullseye Saints Hour. Bullseye, the official tailgate of the New Orleans Saints, and of course, Blake Grupe being released. The news of the day, but just really one of seven moves that the Saints would make either to the active roster and or the practice squad. Sat down with the Vice President of Player Personnel, Michael Parenton, earlier today after these moves were made to get more of his thoughts on these moves. Let's go back to that interview.
From the active roster standpoint, Evan Hall is signed up from the practice squad to the active roster. You still have Audric Estime.
That's right.
Right. He was just inactive this week. So, I mean, you know, until we know more about Alvin's situation, you just got to get some people up there.
Yeah, it's a fun group of guys, and we've really enjoyed that group. You know, we moved on from Velas, and we had Kindre's injury that forced us to reevaluate the running back position there with some of our depth. Obviously, we're really excited about Devin. Devin's shown exactly what we thought coming out of college, and it wasn't too big for him this past week, so that was exciting to see. But then also, we got to be mindful of the fact that Devin's a rookie, you know, and playing his most extensive playtime last week. So Audric was a guy that we liked in the draft process. We had some familiarity with the Denver crossover. There was familiarity with him being in Philly at the early part of the year. So we knew, okay, from a protection standpoint, from a run game standpoint, there's going to be a lot of the same language. So to onboard that guy quickly was pretty feasible. And then we worked out Evan around the same time, and the workout was really good. Actually, former Saint Zach Zinner, for a brief moment in time, is his agent. And so reached out to Zach, brought him in here. He worked out well. And then he's just, you know, popped off a couple days at practice where he's kind of caught everyone's eye. So it's a young group. You know, those guys have no bad days. They're smart. They've all picked things up quickly. And we're excited about the depth of that group.
And signed Ian Wheeler.
Yep.
To the practice squad. And Samori.
Yep. Torrey.
To the practice squad. Waived Blake that we talked about. And terminated the practice squad contracts of Jaquan Jackson, whom you just signed to
That's right.
Practice squad.
Hurt me deep there.
and Echo Leota.
Yep.
I mean, it's sometimes because, you know, where's the need? I mean,
yeah.
You went through such a long time when you were pulling up practice squad players on center, you know, like Echo.
Yeah.
And it just come, we needed a guy for special teams.
Yep.
You had been really kind of in that bag where you didn't have to make a bunch of changes.
Yeah. And you get to a spot, you know, receiver position with moving on from Brandon and moving on from Rashid at different times. And, you know, you get banged up here and there and you start kind of getting through practice. You're looking at, okay, how do we manage our reps? How do we not, you know, Mason Tipton now, you know, who is one of our practice squad, you know, practice players as he was a more minor role is now in a bigger role. So, you know, we have to fill those reps and really looks, Torrey is a guy that we're familiar with. We had joined practice with Green Bay a couple of years ago. He was recently on Denver's practice squad. He's a smart kid. He's going to pick things up quickly, and he's got some NFL film that we really like. Ian, we actually had worked out with Evan on that day, and it was kind of like, we're kind of torn between both these guys, and Ian's preseason film was pretty good in Chicago this past year. So, you know, like I said, everybody's got a different story and a different way that they get here. We just got to find the right guys for us.
With Brandon gone and Rashid gone and your Vele at 6'5", Kevin Austin 6'2", Bub Means when he comes back 6'2", Jalen Polk when he plays next year 6'1", Trey Palmer again on IR but was a waiver guy 6'1", was so your wide receiver room went from not being very tall to probably size matters, and I'm just curious if that was intentional or that's just the way it happened.
I would say that earlier in the year, as we got through camp, we certainly felt like size was an issue that we needed. That there were a lot of fast guys, good route runners, but there's some other parts of balance within that position group, and that led us more to Devon and trading for him. And I think we've all been, you know, ecstatic, you know, just with that player in our building, and they're excited about, you know, what his future is. Kevin's been a longtime grinder, does everything right, a UFL guy that we brought in here and you just can't get rid of because he does everything right. And then adding a player like Jalen, more of a long-term play there. And Trey was someone we had familiarity with in the division and also runs very well. You know, so there was a little bit of a dual element there. But I think it's just constantly looking at your position group, looking at where we're not up to snuff with the rest of the league, where we need to get better, what are some young players we're excited about, who helps a guy like Chris be in his best role. You know, is Chris better in this slot moving around? Is Chris better on the outside, and what players complement him? So really it's just a big puzzle that we really, you know, keep working on and keep, and look, we're not good enough. We haven't won enough games, so we got to keep evaluating at all positions. So that's just part of it.
And today there is some news about one of those players we talked about, and that's Brandon Cooks. He signed a deal with the Buffalo Bills to help their wide receiver room. And really the only move today that went to the active roster was the running back Evan Hull, 5'10", 209 pounds, out of Northwestern in 23. He's only been with the Saints practice squad since week 10, played a couple of games with the Colts in 23 and 24, and with the Pittsburgh Steelers in the 2024 preseason, but he is active, as is Audric Estime, and we'll find out more later this week, the status of Alvin Kamara and that knee. We come back more with Michael Parenton, and we're going to talk about a lot of things that Saints fans talk about, and that is the playmakers on this Saints team, offense and defense, with six games left. You are listening to the Bullseye Saints Hour, Bullseye, the official tailgate of the Saints here on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network. Welcome back. Mike Haas with you. It is the Bullseye Saints Hour, Bullseye, the official tailgate of the New Orleans Saints, and we are speaking with, and earlier today, an interview I did with the Vice President of Player Personnel, Michael Parenton, and you know, really asked him a question that a lot of us get, and that is about playmakers. Are there enough playmakers on this team? Let's get back to that interview.
And that was one of the questions I wanted to ask. You know, I know the answer to it, but it's about playmakers. And who's on your team that the other team goes, that's a guy I got to, you know, be concerned with. And you have them, but you probably know you need more.
Yeah, always. You can never have enough, right? You're never going to apologize for having too many. But then also, you know, there's some challenges with so many mouths to feed that it's all got to work together. You got to have balance. Guys can't be predictable in the ways that you use them. And there's certainly been some growing pains in your first year with this scheme and the first year of these guys. And, you know, two really young starters at quarterback and, you know, some of your veteran leaders, like guys like Taysom and Foster being out for all of training camp in the first 5 weeks of the season.
Chase Young.
Yeah.
I don't think even I envisioned what the difference that five games or you know that he missed coming up with that calf injury was.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Those are guys, you want those guys to look well, right? You want your guys that you're counting on. They look like your best players. They're paid like your best players. And you want to feel those guys' impact, particularly on their teammates. You know, and that's, you know, how Cam's being used, how Carl's being used, how Chris Rumpf's now being used, you know, how DeMario looks because he's being asked to do different deals. So like all those guys are good feel goods, you know, when they come back and it looks the way you think it's supposed to, but we got to have more of them. We just got to keep adding.
Just a couple more questions here with Michael Parenton, Vice President of Pro Personnel, and what has been a busy day. And you mentioned him, and we've been kind of not waiting. It's the wrong way to say it, but we've seen this camp darling, Mason Tipton, right? He's been a camp darling out of Yale since he came, and we saw it. Right? Jet sweep, boom, first down. And then the 75-yarder, and the hole was there. But that's the guy that we've been kind of seeing in camp.
Yeah, it's Mason's a fun guy to talk about. Got a lot of pride, you know, on our side of the building about finding guys like him after the draft. And, you know, it's a group effort. You know, Keith Williams, the receivers coach, Dub, did a great job of going through that pile of guys last year after the draft, being like, hey, this is my top target. This is a guy I want to go get. Getting him here, and then really, you remember he had a hamstring in camp to where we didn't see him play in the preseason, but yet we're all pretty convicted that, no, we don't want to let this guy out the building. And then going again through this preseason with a brand-new staff and telling these guys that this guy was a player and letting them see that for themselves. But look, he's a Yale kid, so you think Ivy League, you know he's smart, but then he's got some Akron to him. He's got a little toughness to him. And I think that shows up, and he works really, really hard. And you know, I couldn't be more excited for him to be as productive as he was in game one and expect more out of him going forward.
Tulane going to make the 12, the playoffs?
Got to handle our business. But it'll be a fun couple weeks. See how that all plays out. Edie White, St. Charles Catholic this week too, so another big one for me. Texted Greg McMahon this morning about that. But Green Wave keeps doing what they do. I'll be there next week for the conference championship game.
How much are you looking at this point? I think it's March 9th. You can begin negotiations. March 11th. You know, you're not from an unrestricted free agent situation. It's not – that isn't really maybe some of the issues. It's maybe the voiding the contracts and dead cap money, which brings Kai into it. I know. I don't want to get too deep into it, but how much of that board, Alante Taylor, seems to be kind of – you know, sticks out as the guy from an unrestricted free agent at this point. You don't have 20 of them, which is good, but you've got some decisions to make from a DeMario, Cam, Foster, Taysom, those kind of things.
I think whatever you do in that process, it can't be emotional. So I think the longer you can spend on it, you know, you get your mid-year evals, you get your post-year evals, your guys are watching all the free agent board, you're having discussions, hey, what does this look like? And, you know, over the past 3 years, what has this position looked like? Where do we feel like we want to go forward at this position, whether or not that's, you know, you try to address as many of your needs as possible before the draft. That way you just draft best player available. And that always seems to work out that way. But obviously with cap constraints and, you know, cash flows and all that stuff, it's a little bit imperfect as to how you get there. You know, you may sign a guy like Dylan Radunes a couple weeks in, or you may sign a guy like James Hurst in June.
Well, if you don't, I mean, think about
Julian Blackman later
on. Julian Blackman, man.
You know,
but
so,
what a find. I thought that kid could have been. Yeah. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. We were really excited about Julian. But, you know, like those discussions are all happening right now. And you know, we've always been a great department in terms of Kai, Jeff, myself, my staff, Mickey and Thomas and Randy and just all this leadership and experience that we have in terms of guys just sharing stories and just talking about it, you know, so nothing's really emotional depending on how those last couple games of the year went and be like, well, this player like really let us down or this player, you know, was fantastic. Like you got to look at the whole picture, you know, and see how it all and have honest conversations with your coaching staff to see how they feel.
And finally, the NFC South always never lets us down. It always comes back, and that's the frustrating part. Tampa has lost 4 or 5. They're 6-5. Carolina loses 6-6. Atlanta 4-7. Saints 2-9. So there's 6 games left. I mean, who knows? We're not getting into winning the final 6 because could 8-9 win the division? Hell yeah. But my question leading into it, that the NFC South is what it is that you got to find out what you have, right? Mm-hmm. You got to find out that wherever you draft, that do I need a quarterback? Wait, you got to find out what you have, right?
Yeah. Yeah, I think, look, the good part about where we're at in terms of the youth of some of the parts of our roster, the young players that have played well for us that we're excited about, but then also, like, there's going to be meaningful games for other teams as well as us down the stretch, and so it's not like, now we can write it off and just start preparing. You know, like, I think that our guys have every opportunity.
It's not in your DNA, dude.
No, it's not.
Sean could have tanked many years. Yeah. You guys could have tanked. Fans would get hacked, but it's not in your DNA.
Yeah, look, we got a big game coming up this week versus Miami, and then Carolina's got the Rams, and then they're coming off of a bye to play us. You know, so that'll be a huge game. We have Tampa. You know, everybody's going to need to win games down the stretch. So it's a great opportunity for us to evaluate ourselves and see who wants to step up and be a part of the reason why we get things going and why we string together a couple wins.
Lots of football left. Thank you. Best of luck to Tulane and to Edie White.
That's right.
Even though if Tulane gets in, it probably means James Madison doesn't, but that's a whole nother. I just have to get it in once a show, James Madison, then I get my money. All right. Best of luck. Thanks. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
That's Vice President of Player Personnel, Michael Parenton, teasing, of course, about James Madison. I get nothing. It is my alma mater. And, hey, if I got money for it, you'd hear it more than once a show. But my thanks to Michael Parenton. It was a very busy Tuesday at Saints camp. Let's pause 10 seconds to let stations identify themselves here on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network. When we come back, it's been a real treat in recent weeks. We've been able to talk to a lot of the Saints players, rookies, guys who are making an impact, and we're going to continue that tonight. We're going to talk with Saints linebacker, the rookie out of the fourth round, Danny Stutzman, out of Oklahoma. Started the season playing a lot of special teams, but not so much anymore. A lot of defensive snaps, making some progress, making some impact. So Danny Stutzman will join us next. This is the Bullseye Saints Hour, Bullseye, the official tailgate of the New Orleans Saints right here on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Big deal brands are on sale right now at Designer Shoe Warehouse. Save up to 25% on select styles from the brands on everyone's list, like Nike, Adidas, New Balance, Crocs, Reebok, and more. Because the only thing we love more than dropping a name is dropping a price. You don't want to miss this one. These brands are almost never on sale. So shop the DSW Holiday Name Drop Sale today at your DSW store or DSW.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
At Marisa's, we're all about great jeans. You know, the ones that fit you just right. The ones that go from work days to weekends and everywhere in between. The ones that simply make you feel good. Because you don't just wear jeans, you live in them. With 25 sizes, 5 lengths, and 6 denim brands, you've got options. And fit experts in every store to make jean shopping easier. Find great jeans starting at $29.90 in stores and at Marisa's.com.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Welcome back to the Bullseye Saints Hour. Mike Haas along with Saints rookie linebacker Danny Stutzman. Fourth round pick out of Oklahoma, originally from Florida. And now we're so many games in, you must not feel like a rookie anymore, right? Does it feel different?
Absolutely not. I mean, you got to get rolling quick. You know, the season comes by so fast and you're just taking in so much information every day, you know, trying to learn, you know, everyone's name, faces, and the facility and the routine. And definitely not, you know, I feel like I've been doing this for a little bit, you know, but I've been taking it day by day.
We had Peter Sermon, your coach, on last night on the Saints Coaches Show, and it's his first year in the NFL. And I was like, well, you know, what's the transition like? Is it the same thing from a college to pro? And he's like, it was just way more everything. Not one thing. It was just way more everything.
I think that's a great way to describe it. Absolutely.
Yeah. And so it's been fun. And to watch your kind of progression, because you spent first six games, you had 10 defensive snaps. I mean, you were primarily special teams, 101. And then in the last five games, you've had 66 defensive snaps. So you know, that was a, I'm assuming at some point that was a planned, hey, Danny, here's what we're going to do. We're going to start working you in more situationally.
Yeah, I think one day on like a Saturday, he's like, all right, we're going to start getting you some reps in the game. And I'm like, all right, here we go. But, I've always, tried to prepare myself to, be ready no matter what. You know, all it takes is one unfortunate play, and then your number's called. So, it wasn't really any surprise there. I didn't have to change my routine or how I prepared myself. I was ready to go.
So I want to talk about a few plays from the game against Atlanta, because we often talk about the little things. It's the little things that happen before or after that often people don't talk about. And so second quarter, Falcons have the ball, first and 10, Tyler Allgeier, boom, 8 yards. Second and 2, boom, Tyler Allgeier, 13 yards. Now it's first and 10. They run it again to Tyler Allgeier. You kind of shoot the gap, and you get him for 1 yard, which puts them in a second and 9. Now they're in a passing situation. Mm-hmm. And it's you blitz, and Bijan kind of, gets a little bit of you. But I feel like Cousins kind of, I'm not really sure what Cousins was thinking, to be honest, but he throws a little more inside than I'm thinking, than I think he wanted to. Mm-hmm. Pops up in the air, Justin Reed, interception. I guess just before we even talk about the interception, because I got more there, it is kind of what I'm talking about, right? It's that little thing. It's that putting them in second and 9. Nobody thought about that, what would be the next play, but that was important.
Absolutely. I think, obviously, it sounds like you know a lot of ball, because the average fan is not going that deep into it. So when you get into a get back on track down, second and 9, they want to make it to a third and manageable, third and 4. So they're looking for something easy. So they had an oversplit by 1 and 2, and DeMario was all over that. If you see DeMario, he kind of beats the receiver to the ball. He runs past the slants that he saw. And, I think on that simulated pressure right there, my rush could have been a little better. Maybe you want to, create a little bit faster, pressure, move the quarterback off the spot. But with quick game like that, you just got to, I timed it up right, got in the face, maybe altered the throw, had a hand up. But incredible coverage by Kool-Aid, Justin Reed, doing exactly what he does in perfect position. And, and right after there, the rest is just what it was.
So as Justin makes the interception, your role is now Kirk Cousins. And it's not from the 5 or the 10 or the 15. It starts at the 30. You're basically between the numbers and the hash marks, really on the numbers. And for 30 yards, you guys run almost face mask to face mask. He makes zero effort. I mean, he couldn't, Kirk's not going to get Justin Reed, but he makes zero effort. So I have a few questions here. First off, it looks a little awkward. Is it awkward?
Yeah. So I was running with him. How are the kids? That normal talk. He asked me how I'm like in New Orleans. I'm asking how he's like in Atlanta. No, but in all seriousness, after an interception, the two players that make the plays, typically the quarterback and the wide receiver, I'm right there. You turn around. Now defense turns into offense. Offense turns into defense. So I'm looking for a block. I mean, Kirk Cousins is worth a lot of money. I don't think he's trying to, put himself in a situation where, he could hurt his throwing arm or shoulder. So when he sees a white guy with a neck pad and arm brace, holding him up, I think he kind of got the message there, and didn't really do much after that. And it just kind of just doing my job. And I think he knew what was happening.
No, you're right. He stayed. Was there any conversation?
No, not in that moment. No, I don't think so. Maybe if I was DeMario, they could have.
Dude, don't even think about it.
Chopped it up, but not here.
It was just only because it caught my attention because it was so long. It was 30 yards, but it was crucial because the way that Justin did have to cut back, had Kirk had at any point gotten from the inside, he could have, at least done something. And I guess the second thing I was thinking about was you could have knocked him on his butt. You had every you know, within your right to knock him on his keister.
In those moments, I always think about like when Zach Wilson was at BYU. I don't know who they played, but those like three defensive players like tried to kill him, and I'm like, dude, this is the NFL. Like they'll throw 100 flags if you try and you know take quarterback to the ground. I'm like, I don't want to see an envelope in my locker, you know, the next day. So I'm gonna be smart here. You know, you gotta protect the quarterbacks, and I think I did just enough, you know, to make the play. You know what it was.
Well, yeah, your job at that point is to keep him away from Justin.
Absolutely.
Period.
And Justin did a fantastic job, you know, making people miss, and that all the credit's there to him.
Just kind of overall defensively, because the crowd was into it, and it's your first game. You don't know a lot about the Atlanta rivalry, but you can probably feel the electricity in the building is a little different when it's at Atlanta. And automatically, your defense was put, you know, kind of behind with the turnover, and you forced the field goal. Just give me kind of your assessment of the defense beyond the two explosive plays that really, you know, those were big, but just your overall impressions.
Yeah, I think going into that game, you know, we obviously knew their offense was going to go through number seven. You know, I faced against him quite a bit, and you know, in college, him being a Texas guy, you know, I'm from Oklahoma, and now he's in Atlanta, I'm in New Orleans, and I think that's just, you know, fate in one way. But I think, you know, in our base personnel, we did a really good job, you know, stopping the run. You know, unfortunately, there was those two runs that you mentioned earlier were kind of the longest runs of the day. And that kind of happened to our nickel personnel. You know, you got to stop the run, you know, no matter what personnel you're in. But I think overall, the defensive line was hungry that game. You know, we kind of challenged them throughout the week. You know, a lot of those zone schemes are really tough on the defensive line. You know, they get slipped through blocks. You know, but they did a great job. You know, they were grinding it through the entire game. And it was really incredible to see, you know, defensive line play like that for all four quarters. You know, unfortunately, there were some plays that you want to get back. You know, that long screen down on second and 22. And that's just a situation that, you know, you just got to make a play there. You know, there's another screen of Bijan on a flare, and that obviously that deep bomb. You know, there's plays you wish you can get back, but you can't. I think as a defense, you know, we just got to, you know, play cleaner, you know, through four quarters. And I know that's what we're preparing every single day for. You know, as a young guy, I see the effort that's put in throughout the week. You know, it's cool to see, you know, these veterans lead and how they do it. And just, you know, the guys in this room like Q Riley, you know, Jonas Sanker that are watching these veterans do it just really paves the path that we need to follow.
Yeah, I don't know that I've seen a back like Robinson have kind of those jump cut, just drastic moves from in sometimes in the hole and sometimes from in the hole to outside. You know, I mean, he's a special kind of guy, which you've seen, you know, obviously from Texas. So after that series, Atlanta gets it back. They drive down, and Isaiah Stallburg, and you're not in, you're on the sidelines.
Yeah.
But I've never seen a play like that, because it's not that he just jumped up high, because he started the 4 distance. Yards away from him, right? And I'm trying to think, I think Kirk kind of saw him out of the corner of his eye, but you know, he ducked a little bit, but I've never seen anything like it. I've never seen a guy jump over a quarterback, because in Kirk's head, all he sees at that point as he leans down is Stallburg's helmet and legs goes over him.
For sure. I think the thought process, you know, I asked Isaiah about that. You don't know if we should fine him or what for that play. Fortunately, he got up and was able to finish the sack. He got a full sack, which I think was a more of a miracle than the play itself. But, you know, talking to him, you know, Kirk hasn't played a lot of ball. I feel like when he sees what we're in, and as soon as the ball snapped in 0.1 milliseconds, he's known we're in a zero pressure. And I think Isaiah thought the ball's coming out fast. You know, fortunately, our coverage was really good, so he kind of had to hold on to it. I guess he thought if I could, you know, maybe get there, maybe if I jump from here, I'll get to him faster. You know, I can beat him before the ball comes out. But Isaiah's a freak. His speed is unmatched. You know, some of the movements that he makes, you know, his safety background, you know, really helps him in a lot of these situations. So having him on third downs is critical. You know, we can do a lot with our rush patterns and our coverage, you know, that he has. And so he gets in those situations where he can make a lot of plays, and it's cool to watch him do that.
That is Danny Stutzman we're talking to, the fourth round pick out of Oklahoma, and really the young guys, Isaiah Stallburg and Stutzman, both who've kind of done a lot of special teams, getting a lot more play. Isaiah more situationally, and you heard Danny talk about really just kind of getting into the games in certain, you know, certain coverages and certain downs. So we're going to talk more with Danny Stutzman. I'll also hear from his coach, the linebacker coach, Peter Sermon. When we come back, this is the Bullseye Saints Hour on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network. Welcome back. It is the Bullseye Saints Hour, Bullseye, the official tailgate of the New Orleans Saints. And last night on the Visit Pensacola Saints Coaches Show, we talked to linebackers coach Peter Sermon in his first year and wanted to get his thoughts on the progress of his fourth round pick, that being the man we're talking to tonight, Danny Stutzman. But here's Coach Sermon from last night.
Yeah, his growth has been excellent. You know, this is this process, you know, we got here right around the combine. And then after the combine, Jeff Ireland and Mickey sent us out to get some opportunities to work some guys out and spend time with them. And Danny was one of those guys that I had opportunity to spend time with, did a personal workout with him, and then actually went out to dinner with him and then did a position meeting with him. So I felt I had a real good exposure to what Danny was personality-wise, and then most importantly, kind of what his football capacity was and get an understanding of how he was trained. I think he did a great job getting trained at OU, and he's come in and he's been very diligent, been very, very mature as a rookie. And right now he's learning two spots. So he plays behind DeMario, and he's obviously in the rotation behind Pete. So what he's been able to do mentally to handle those two positions as a rookie with a full workload on special teams, it's been very impressive with what he's doing. We're real bullish on him in the future.
And that is linebacker coach Peter Sermon. And that's where we'll pick up our interview with Danny Stutzman, as I'm talking to him really just about the challenges and the differences in his role when you're backing up veterans, both DeMario Davis and Pete Werner.
But from a role standpoint, it's really it's not incredibly different as to what you're asked to do. Or is it?
Not particularly. I think that will linebacker, that the money is what we call it, is put in space a little bit. You know, I think some of the stuff within the scheme is a little different. But at the end of the day, you are playing linebacker. You know, your job is to defeat blocks and make tackles, and then guard tight ends, and and those hook drops. But overall, it's pretty similar.
Few more questions here. We're talking with Saints linebacker Danny Stutzman. So you went to Foundation Academy, Winter Garden, Florida, which is just north of Orlando. Born in that area, mm-hmm. right? So just north of Orlando, basically just north of Walt Disney World.
Yeah.
I'm assuming as a
like
kid.
20 minutes.
I mean, I was going to say it was like going to the Walmart, going to Walt Disney World right there. Right?
I wish. I didn't really. I probably went like a couple of times. When you live there, you don't go as much as you think. You know, there's a lot of traffic. You kind of avoid the touristy spots.
Graduated in 2020?
2021.
2021. From high school?
Yes, sir.
So when you were recruiting, what kind of impact was COVID during all that? Because,
I never even got to see Oklahoma, really. I think I went, Caleb Williams did like an unofficial thing, got some of the guys, but we couldn't like go on campus. Like we couldn't see any of the facilities. It had to be like just all outside looking in, which is kind of weird to say I committed to a school without really getting a visit or really seeing it just on Zooms, which was they did a fantastic job, I guess, but they went above and beyond on those Zoom calls, but that was pretty much it.
So when you got there, because I've been there, and people that don't know, if you're at OU in Norman, Oklahoma, it is like you're the NFL team. You're not Dallas, but you're daggone pretty close to being an NFL team.
100%. My actual first experience there, I was taking a visit to Oklahoma State before COVID, and me and my dad, the airport, and it's pretty close, about 30 minutes from the airport. We're like, oh, we'll stop by, and it was like a rainy day in Norman. I'm like, oh, this isn't that great. I didn't have an OU offer. I was like, man, like this is overrated, it is. And then I got the Oklahoma offer, and I was like, all right, maybe let's backtrack a little bit. This school in the history is pretty incredible.
Did you get to Oklahoma State? You saw Oklahoma State in person?
I saw Oklahoma State. I had a good visit. Like it was, a real good time. It felt like lifetimes ago, but Oklahoma just really, really captured my heart.
Yeah, because they're two different campuses,
For sure.
Oklahoma State, they're different. And so Red, and you have answered this question many, many times, donated a portion of your NIL money to walk-ons at OU. When did that come to you? Why did you do it?
I just, NIL era was really like, everything that seemed like it was all about, just me, like I. And I didn't really like that. I didn't like the narrative. It's just the best players are getting the majority of the money. You know, we have walk-ons, you know, doing the same workouts, the same practices, you know, have harder schedules, you know, got to keep their grades up, you know, aren't allowed to slip. And it didn't sit right with me that we've had some dudes be in these rooms for 5 years and haven't seen nothing while other guys just are out of high school making a ton of money. And I just wanted to give something back. You know, I wish I could have given more, but, you know, those guys were really grateful of what I was able to do for them. And, you know, seeing the reactions, you know, a guy like Owen Heineke was one, and now he's out there starting games. And that's just an incredible story. You know, it's cool to see that. And, you know, they're really humble. A lot of those guys are, you know, I still talk to them to this day. And just some of those great friendships. And it was really cool to do something like that.
Can you, because you started in the young part of NIL, and you see where it is now. That's 0 to 100 miles an hour, isn't it? In the shortest amount of time possible.
Oh, yeah. I think my sophomore year, I led the Big 12 in tackles. And then NIL starts being like, oh, I'm about to, you know, that'd be a payday here. And they offer me like $50,000. And I'm like, where do I sign? Like, where do I sign? And now, like, this dude gets that. He's transferring.
You get that in cash
getting
now.
Millions of dollars, like new cars. And I think that was just kind of like the change of it. It was like, when I was a sophomore, that seemed like so much money. And now these players are getting that.
Well, it is. It is.
You know, it's a ton of money. But now these players are out of high school getting, you know, six-figure deals and car deals and all this and that. You know, it's really evolved. And it's in a weird spot. I don't want to go too deep into it.
No.
It is.
Well, I will tell you, they need something. The train is off the tracks.
Absolutely.
Off the tracks. I will say it. I won't get you in trouble, but it is off the tracks.
I don't know. I've always saw it as, why, like, if I had a great year, the school, if, like, my sophomore, I couldn't go to the draft. They knew I wasn't going to. I loved Oklahoma. They knew I wasn't going to transfer. It's like, but why should a player, like, he doesn't get rewarded for staying and being loyal to the school? Like, they're going to have to pay the transfer that they want to bring in from another school all the money so they can improve their roster.
But here's the part that bothers me is that, you know who loses in all this? The high school kid.
Mm-hmm.
Because coaches are on such a short leash, they've got to win now. And I'm going to go get me a transfer player.
Well, especially the JUCO players don't even lose eligibility anymore.
Right. JUCO don't lose
eligibility. I'd rather get the 20-year-old that has all 4 years than the 18-year-old that doesn't really still figuring it out.
I don't have time to develop that kid anymore.
It's just how the game's changed.
Right. Those are the guys that suffer. That just feels like, and I get it, the coaches, they don't have time. They've got to win. So they get the JUCO guys, they get the transfer portal. Believe me, I did the same thing. I looked at I went, Oklahoma. Just Oklahoma, right? The way it was.
Yeah.
It used to be a red flag, you know? Oh, I got with the two schools. Oh, it must be a problem.
Now some dudes have been to four, maybe five.
And right.
It's all over the place. I don't know how they can fix it. Now they're saying they're putting like a cap on it.
Yeah.
But I'm sure LSU or those big schools are still going to have a collective that are going to put some money on top. Which, why wouldn't they? You know, they got to win games, man. That's what college football is all about. And so those big teams can really profit from it.
You have maybe conversations at your house that we don't have at mine. Your dad played football. Your mom played basketball at Baylor. And your sister softball at Florida State.
Yep.
So there is the who's the best athlete in the family conversation. You don't, I mean, that's a pretty athletic family. Who do you take after?
I mean, I think from both my parents, you know, my mom was a really talented basketball player. My dad was really talented at football. You know, I think, you know, a few years ago, I think there was a big debate. I think now it's kind of, you know, separated a little bit. But my mom was one heck of an athlete for sure.
Final question, because the next two games are in Miami and Tampa and Orlando, where your family is. Will you have family at either one of these next two?
Absolutely. Oh, so yeah, absolutely. A ton. And it's like, they know I'm really focused on this game. They ain't coming for me for tickets. You know, my family can handle that all they want.
It's Miami, dude. They can sit wherever they want.
They'll have a great time, you know, regardless. But, yes, a ton of family.
Cool. It's been an honor. Keep doing it. Keep racking them up. And just I appreciate your time and best continued success.
Thank you so much. It was a pleasure to be on here.
So that was the Saints' fourth round pick, linebacker Danny Stutzman, just a super guy, fun to talk to. We had a great time. And again, you know, times are tough. We get it. We understand. Know the record. Saints go 2-2-2 at Miami, at Tampa, Carolina, and the Jets at home, then at Tennessee and at Atlanta. My thanks, of course, to Michael Parenton, to Danny Stutzman, to Charlie Long in the booth. You've been listening to Bullseye, the Saints Hour, the official tailgate of the New Orleans Saints. That is Bullseye. And, of course, the Saints in Miami. That's back to noon, and then Tampa's at noon. And we'll see about that Carolina game, still set for 3:25. Have a very safe and happy Thanksgiving, everyone. And we'll see you next time right here on the Bullseye Saints Hour on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
One day only, Thanksgiving Day deals are coming to Lowe's.com. Plus, members get early access to online Black Friday doorbuster deals on gifting favorites, like the still-trending Cobalt Mini Toolbox for just $14.98. Don't miss up to 50% off for one day only at Lowe's.com. We help you save. Valid 11/27 only on Lowe's.com. Member only doorbusters and Midnight Eastern. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. See Lowe's.com/terms for details. Subject to change. While supplies last.
True North has something truly fast and friendly. Introducing the True Rewards mobile app. Sign up to get instant access to member-only offers and in-store coupons. As a True Rewards member, track your club status, find a store, and redeem exclusive offers all in one place. Join today and save 25 cents per gallon on your first fill-up and save 5 cents every day. Savings are stackable with Shell Fuel Rewards. Download now from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North convenience stores and True Rewards. Fast, friendly, clean.
Looking for a new way to grow your business? With TikTok for Business, anything is possible. If you've ever thought about advertising on TikTok, now's the time to do it. You can drive more customers to your website, sell products right in the app, and you can even use TikTok's creative tools to easily make content and find creators to help sell your products for you. Find new customers today. Just open your browser, type in getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads, and grow your business fast